Friday, our sisters and brothers in the Catholic Church celebrated the feast of San Giuseppe da Cupertino, or basically Saint Joseph of Cupertino. Now, I'm one of those people, as you all know, I like studying Catholic saints. I think they have some of the greatest stories. Hagiography compared to a biography is so much more fun because hagiographies, which are based on a saint's life, are based more on tradition than fact. So sometimes you get these really great stories that you're not quite sure if they're true or not, but they're a fantastic story. And Saint Joseph is one of these people. And I read a description of him, and I quote, "He was remarkably unclever." Think about that. "Prone to sporadic levitation and ecstatic visions that left him gaping." So basically, you had kind of a slow-flying friar who more or less stood around with his mouth open all the time. But the thing is about Saint Joseph, he was a member of the Franciscan order called the Order of Friars Minor Conventual. And one of the things he was known for, even though he may not have been, as they say, the sharpest knife in the drawer, he was a very loving and giving person who helped to take care of those in need. Now, I find one of the things, just a little side point, even though of his uncleverness, he is the patron saint of astronauts and test taking. But St. Joseph and his order, the conventuals. When St. Francis, a lot of his early ministry, his idea, why, Franciscans are brothers or friars and not monks. The friars, they were considered a group of brothers, that came, they held a certain, I guess as we might call, liturgy or way of life. They hold a common way of life. Way of life is basically, kind of how you kind of observe your religious and spiritual life. But the idea was they were supposed to be out there roaming the roads, preaching to people. This was an order of preachers. And at the same time, to take care of those in need, following that belief that, when Jesus sent out his first disciples without any food, staff, or anything like that, just basically sent them on the road, and it's like, don't worry about it, people will take care of you. That's what was basically the original Franciscans. Well, the conventuals, about the time St. Francis was around and started dying, you started seeing this growth of city life. People were coming into the urban areas. And the most poor, nowadays we have slums inside. Well, outside the city walls, there would be like these, ramshackle villages of, nowadays we have like in a lot of the poorer areas where the homeless will set up like tent cities. And these were people who were just setting up whatever piece of board or things they could. And the conventuals, the word conventual is the same word as we get convent. These are a group of friars who decided to come and live together. And part of their ministry, the major part of their ministry, was to take care of those who were in need. Nowadays, you might see them in the city once. Well, anybody familiar with the gray friars? They're the Franciscan monks you'll see running around in gray robes. Well, those are the Franciscans' conventual, and they often live in areas that are very blighted. They started some of the earlier hospitals in these poor areas. And, a lot of times their living conditions weren't that great. One of the early orders of the conventuals in London lived on a street called Stinky Lane. And, they weren't just being clever there. It was a really horrible place. But the thing is they put the lives of those people they served before their own. Instead of looking for greatness or a life of comfort, they tried to live into Christ's message of being servants to others. That whole idea, as Jesus was talking about in today's gospel, about the idea of the least among you will be the greatest. Now, in our gospel, as we have this part of Mark's that is getting the disciples and the apostles ready for what's to come. We're past the halfway point in Mark's gospel. And as you started noticing, especially last week when he was talking, when we had Peter and his great confession about you are the Messiah, and then 2 minutes later, get behind me, Satan. Jesus is right now trying to prepare his disciples, but most specifically the 12 apostles, for what's going to happen. And as we hear today, he was trying to teach them about him being arrested, crucified, but at the same time was trying to explain to them, but in 3 days I'm going to rise again, and they didn't understand it. And as we are told, they were afraid to ask. Now, not that that's ever happened in the church where people were afraid to ask for clarification, but this is what's going on in those days. So instead of asking Jesus, what are you really talking about, man? They decide to argue amongst themselves, which one of them is the greatest? And who's going, this whole idea that they're thinking in the idea of the kingdom of man and not in the kingdom of heaven. Where in the kingdom of man, it's like whoever is the greatest is, has the best position. The person in power. And, of course, they think Jesus isn't hearing all this. And, a few moments later, he gets in the house. He gets the 12 away from the rest of the disciples, and he's asked them, what were you guys arguing about? Now, I'm sure a few of you parents have been there when you've watched the look on your kid's face when they found out you actually heard what they said. And sometimes the other way around when you realize, what you said got heard. We've all probably been on both sides of that. And, of course, they all shut up. They're closed as clams. They're not. Because they were just arguing. And Jesus, he knows what they're fighting about. And he tells them about this idea that whoever wants to be the greatest has to be the least. The one who serves everyone else is the most highest among you. And then we have that scene, the famous scene where he takes the child. The one thing I like the NRSV, but it just always irritates me when he refers to the child as it all the time. But he takes the child and puts the child, on his lap. And he admonish them, you need to be like this child. Now, part of it is we get a lot of images in this year of life because, we always see basically Northern European German Jesus, white Jesus with the long flowing hair and the sweet little innocent, child and the nice pristine, tunic sitting on his lap. And we always try to get this idea of innocence. And there is a little bit of innocence there of the child. But what Jesus is really pointing out here is in this culture, in this age, not only amongst, the people in Israel, but through most places in the world, the child was, there's the low rung on the ladder. Well, the child in most societies wasn't even on a rung yet. They were about the lowest in the society. They were at, basically, they were property of their father or whoever the head male of the house was. And Jesus was telling his disciples, you need to be like this child. Some of it, as I said earlier, probably had to do with innocence, but part of it was you got to put yourself in this place. Instead of worrying about reward. You just need to serve. Now, this, of course, rings true today. I mean, most of us, every once in a while you get that person who really, really does not want to be recognized. But I think there's a part of many of us who at least likes to hear the occasional get the kudos for doing something good, even though we might go, oh no, no. But there's a part of us who like to be recognized. And this is natural. I don't know if it's nature or nurture, but if it's the culture we're brought up in, or if it's just part of what's inside of us, instinctual. But we like to be recognized, and that's not a bad thing in itself. But when it's only about being recognized for the wonders you did, if that's the only reason you're doing things. There's this great little cartoon I saw the other day where the guy is walking around with one of those reusable coffee cups, and he goes, oh yes, I started using this reusable coffee cup because it's green, and it shows everybody, and everybody can see I'm concerned about the environment. And his friend goes, but yesterday you bought the wrong garbage bags and you threw them away. He goes, yeah, but nobody saw that. sometimes we want to be, sometimes we want to be, if we do good things, we want everybody to see it. And what's really important is those things that we're doing when nobody notices. I think about all the great saints, as we see St. Joseph's today, St. Teresa of Calcutta. Many of the, they weren't, some of them became famous, but they didn't care about the fame. They just wanted to make sure people were taken care of. And we have, in the last century, she died in the, who started her ministry about the time of the Depression in the soup kitchens and worked with people into the 80s, Dorothy Day, who helped create the Catholic Workers Movement. And about the time she was getting up there a little bit, and all these years of living in, poverty and giving everything she had to the poor and putting herself at risk, she started getting referred to a lot as a saint, especially by the bishops. And Dorothy Day always made it clear that she didn't want to be considered a saint because she didn't want to be dismissed that easily. And the reason she didn't want to be dismissed that easily is we have a way of making ourselves comfortable by calling people who do good things saints. And if you're a saint, you must have a special gift for that. But what Dorothy Day wanted people to know is it's within each of us to be able to do these things for other people. That it's not a selective group of people who are more holier. It's about us being willing to answer Christ's call. And of course, that call comes in different ways. Some of us are called to live a life that brings us amongst those people who are living in the more desperate areas. And other of us are called to help out in kitchens. We're all called to do different ministries. But the most important thing is we're doing that not because we're hoping for a pat on the back or that we're going to get one of those little nice crosses from the bishop on the red string. We're doing it because it's the right thing. That's one thing I love about the good news, if you want to keep it simple. If you really want to go to the basic principle of the good news, it's doing what is right because it's the right thing. It's not about getting into heaven. Oh, that's not a bad perk. It's not about getting recognized or getting, being called saint this or saint that. It's about giving of ourselves because that's who we are. So my sisters and brothers, I encourage you to encourage one another. To give of yourselves. To share what it is that God has given you. To use those many gifts that each of you possess. To do what you can for our sister and brothers. I often realize throughout history, it's not usually the great and powerful men and women who make the great changes. They may eventually sign the bills or whatever, the legislative bills and all that. But it's often been the people of faith who've started in the smallest way and have encouraged others to follow, who have made greater strides, who have made the difference in the world. So my sisters and brothers, in Christ, make a difference.